It is the glory of God to conceal a matter. To search it out is the glory of kings. This is the Message to Kings podcast.
Episode 213, the Book of Lamentations and the Book of Obadiah. Obadiah was one of the survivors or captives from Judah. He witnessed the betrayal by the Edomites. And considering the violence of his prophecies or book, I'm making a historical suggestion here. And when Judah broke its alliance with Babylon and sided with Egypt, I'd like to suggest Edom and Moab and the other surrounding states did the same. Or at least Edom told Judah they would break their alliance. And when the king of Babylon shows up at their door, they double-crossed Judah. And not only double-crossed Judah, but volunteered soldiers in the siege of Jerusalem. And even taunted those in Jerusalem and encouraged the king of Babylon to literally destroy Jerusalem. And further, they actually participated in the slaughter and destruction of the city. And they denied refuge for Judah's people. This is the context of the judgment book of Obadiah on the house of Edom. Obadiah 1, the vision of Obadiah. This is what the sovereign Lord says about Edom. We have heard a message from the Lord. An envoy was sent to the nations to say, "Rise, let us go against her for battle. See, I will make you small among the nations. You will be utterly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you, and you will live in the clefts of the rocks and make your home on the heights. You who say to yourself, 'Who can bring me down to the ground?' Though you soar like the eagle and make your nest among the stars, for there I will bring you down, declares the Lord. If thieves come to you, if robbers in the night, oh, what a disaster awaits you. Would they not steal only as much as they wanted? If grape pickers came to you, would they not leave a few grapes? But how Esau will be ransacked, his hidden treasures pillaged. All your allies will force you to the border. Your friends will deceive you and overpower you. Those who eat your bread will set a trap for you, but you will not detect it. In that day, declares the Lord, will I not destroy the wise men of Edom, those of understanding in the mountains of Esau? Your warriors, Teman, will be terrified, and everyone in Esau's mountains will be cut down in the slaughter. Because of the violence against your brother Jacob, you will be covered with shame. You will be destroyed forever. And on that day, you stood aloof while strangers carried off his wealth, and foreigners entered his gates and cast lots for Jerusalem, and you were like one of them. You should not gloat over your brother in the day of his misfortune, nor rejoice over the people of Judah in the day of their destruction, nor boast so much in the day of their trouble. You should not march through the gates of my people in the day of their disaster, nor gloat over them in their calamity in the day of their disaster, nor seize their wealth in the day of their disaster. You should not wait at the crossroads to cut down their fugitives, nor hand over their survivors in the day of their trouble." So the judgment of Edom has been released. Now it's up to the intercessors to stand in the gap. But this is a secular nation. What happens? Even secular nations can repent. Nineveh did. We have to believe that many, many Jews found refuge in Edom, or more likely were enslaved throughout the world. And would God call upon any of them to pray? Only history can answer that question on what happens to Edom. Now we shift our gears to the end of the age, Obadiah 1:15, and recognize the fact that the Lord is supreme over all the kingdoms at the end of this short book. The day of the Lord is near for all nations. As you have done, it will be done to you. Your deeds will return upon your own head, just as you drank on my holy hill, so all the nations will drink continually. They'll drink and they'll drink and be as if they had never been. But on Mount Zion will be deliverance. It will be holy, and Jacob will possess his inheritance. Jacob will be a fire and Joseph a flame. Esau will be stubble, and they will set him on fire and destroy him. There will be no survivors from Esau, the Lord has spoken. People from the Negev will occupy the mountains of Esau, and the people from the foothills will possess the land of the Philistines. They will occupy the fields of Ephraim and Samaria, and Benjamin will possess Gilead. This company of Israelite exiles who were in Canaan will possess the land as far as Zarephath. The exiles from Jerusalem who are in Sepharad will possess the towns of the Negev. Deliverers will go up on Mount Zion to govern the mountains of Esau, and the kingdom will be the Lord's. So this is the vision of Obadiah. Nothing really else after this. He's just a passing prophet through the land of an enemy nation, and a powerful word and vision is received. Another perspective in a time of empire and nation resetting. The mass of survivors from Judah continue their way to Babylon, and on the way, Obadiah receives his word. Meanwhile, back in Jerusalem or Judah, there are some survivors. The poor left in the land on purpose, the new governor, Gedaliah, scavengers from the countryside, foreigners digging for spoils, some other stragglers, potentially those who were in hiding who have returned now that the Babylonian army is mostly gone. And among them is the prophet Jeremiah. He is generally credited with the Book of Lamentations, and it's a compilation of 5 poems. Traditionally, Jews still read Lamentations on the 9th of Av, so they would never forget the calamities of this day on their calendar. Jeremiah may not have actually written these poems, for we don't know for sure the author, but they fit into the timeline and his story better than anyone else. Lamentation in its original Hebrew sounds very painfully sad, for it is read in a different tone because it's poetic in nature. We will cover sections of it. Lamentations 1. How deserted lies the city, once so full of people. How like a widow is she, who once was great among the nations. She was queen among the provinces, has now become a slave. Bitterly she weeps at night, tears are on her cheeks. Among her all her lovers, there is no one to comfort her. All her friends have betrayed her, they have become her enemies. After affliction and harsh labor, Judah has gone into exile. She dwells among the nations. She finds no resting place. All who pursue her have overtaken her in the midst of her distress. The roads to Zion mourn, and no one comes to her appointed festivals. All her gateways are desolate. Her priests groan. Her young women grieve, and she is in bitter anguish. Her foes have become her masters. Her enemies are at ease. The Lord has brought her grief because of her many sins. Her children have gone into exile, captive before the foe. All the splendor has departed from daughter Zion. Her princes are like deer that find no pasture. In weakness they have fled before the pursuer. In the days of her affliction and wandering, Jerusalem remembers all of the treasures that were hers in days of old. When her people fell into enemy hands, there was no one to help her. Her enemies looked at her and laughed at her destruction. Jerusalem has sinned greatly and so has become unclean. All who honored her despised her, for they have seen her naked. She groans and turns away. Her filthiness clung to her skirts. She did not consider her future. Her fall was astounding. There was no one to comfort her. Look, Lord, on my affliction, for the enemy has triumphed. The enemy laid hands on all her treasures. She saw pagan nations enter her sanctuary, those you had forbidden to enter your assembly. All her people groan as they search for bread. They barter their treasures for food to keep themselves alive. Look, Lord, and consider, for I am despised. Is it nothing to you, all who pass by? Look around and see. Is any suffering like my suffering that was afflicted on me, that the Lord brought on me in the day of his fierce anger? From on high he sent fire, sent it into my bones. He spread a net for my feet and turned me back. He made me desolate, fate all the day long. My sins have been bound in a yoke. For his hands, they were woven together. They have been hung on my neck, and the Lord has sapped my strength. He has given me into the hands of those I cannot withstand. The Lord has rejected all the warriors in my midst. He has summoned an army against me to crush my young men. In his winepress, the Lord has trampled virgin daughter Zion. This is why I weep and why my eyes overflow with tears. No one is near to comfort me, no one to restore my spirit. My children are destitute because the enemy has prevailed. Zion stretches out her hands, but there is no one to comfort her. The Lord has decreed for Jacob that his neighbors become his foes. Jerusalem has become an unclean thing among them. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look on my suffering. My young men and young women have gone into exile. I called to my allies, but they betrayed me. My priest and my elders perished in the city while they searched for food to keep themselves alive. See, Lord, how distressed I am. I am in torment within, and in my heart I am disturbed, for I have been most rebellious. Outside, the sword bereaves. Inside, there is only death. People have heard my groaning, but there is no one to comfort me. All my enemies have heard of my distress. They rejoice at what you have done. May you bring the day you have announced so that they may become like me. Let all their wickedness come before you. Deal with them as you have dealt with me because of all of my sins. My groans are many and my heart is faint. So that's the first poem. It's remorseful, it's sad, it lingers in the pit. For a people no longer have their home, a people undone by the sins they committed. Lamentations 2 is just as intense. Lamentations 2:4. Like an enemy, he has strung his bow. His right hand is ready. Like a foe, he has slain all who were pleasing to the eye. He has poured out his wrath like fire on the tent of daughter Zion. The Lord is like an enemy. He has swallowed up Israel. He has swallowed up all her palaces and destroyed her strongholds. He has multiplied mourning and lamentation for daughter Judah. He has laid waste his dwellings like a garden. He has destroyed his place of meeting. And the Lord has made Zion forget her appointed festivals and her Sabbaths. In his fierce anger, he has spurned both king and priest. The Lord has rejected his altar and abandoned his sanctuary. He has given the walls of her palaces into the hands of the enemy. They have raised a shout in the house of the Lord as on the day of an appointed festival. The Lord is determined to tear down the wall around daughter Zion. He has stretched out a measuring line and did not withhold his hand from destroying. He has made ramparts and walls lament. Together they wasted away. Her gates have sunk into the ground. Their bars have broken and been destroyed. Her king and her princes are exiled among the nations. The law is no more, and her prophets no longer find visions from the Lord. The elders of daughter Zion sit on the ground in silence. They have sprinkled dust on their heads and put on sackcloth. The young women of Jerusalem have bowed their heads to the ground. My eyes fail from weeping. I am in torment within. My heart is poured out on the ground because my people are destroyed, because children or infants faint in the streets of the city. They say to their mothers, "Where is bread and wine?" And as they faint like the wounded in the streets of the city, as their lives ebb away in their mother's arms. What can I say for you? With what can I compare you, daughter Jerusalem? To what can I liken you, that I may comfort you, virgin daughter Zion? Your wound is as deep as the sea. Who can heal you? That's intense suffering, starvations, death, ruin. Another commentary called it pure desolation. Now we arrive at Lamentations 3. And Lamentations 3 is a bit more, let's say, a bit more like a psalm. It could have been written by King David because there's an external processing on this one where there's an emotional high and then a low, and then the end you normally call upon God. There's this sadness, but then a change to joy at the end. And also at the same time, there's hidden truths in the poem, and then you go back again through the cycle. The message of hope is in the middle of Lamentations 3. Lamentations 3:19. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remembered them, and my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope, Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. I say to myself, the Lord is my portion, and therefore I will wait for him. The Lord is good to those who hope in him, to the one who seeks him. It is good to wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. It is good for a man to bear the yoke while he is young. Let him sit alone in silence, for the Lord has laid it on him. Let him bury his face in the dust. There may be yet hope. Let him offer his cheek to one who would strike him, and let him be filled with disgrace. So you kind of see the back and forth emotions going on in this one, but there is hidden hope in this one. I find Lamentations extremely vivid. Obviously, and then now we get to number four. There's even a cannibalism reference in Lamentations 4. The entire gamut of emotion is spoken of in this one. And we go full circle, and it's spoken to, and there's the reference to the end of the exile in Lamentations 4. So here's Lamentations 4. How the gold has lost its luster. The fine gold became dull. Sacred gems are scattered at every street corner. How the precious children of Zion, once worth their weight in gold, are now considered as pots of clay, the work of potter's hands. Even jackals offer their breasts to nurse their young. But my people have become heartless like ostriches in the desert. Because of the thirst, the infant's tongue sticks to the roof of his mouth. The children beg for bread, but no one gives it to them. Those who once ate delicacies are destitute in the streets. Those brought up in royal purple now lie in ash heaps. The punishment of my people is greater than that of Sodom, which was overthrown in a moment without a hand turned to help her. Their princes are brighter than snow and whiter than milk. Their bodies more ruddy than rubies. Their appearance like lapis lazuli. But now they are blacker than soot. They are not recognized in the streets. Their skin has shriveled on their bones and has become as dry as a stick. Those killed by the sword are better off than those who die of famine. Racked with hunger, they waste away for lack of food from the field. With their own hands, compassionate women have cooked their own children who became their food when my people were destroyed. The Lord has given full vent to his wrath. He has poured out his fierce anger. He kindled a fire in Zion that consumed her foundations. The kings of the earth did not believe, nor did any of the peoples of the world, that enemies and foes could enter the gates of Jerusalem. But it happened because of the sins of her prophets and the iniquities of her priests, who shed within her the blood of righteous. Now they grope through the streets as if they were blind. They were so defiled with blood that no one dares touch their garments. Go away, you are unclean, people cry to them. Away, away, do not touch us. When they flee and wander about, people among the nations say, they can stay here no longer. The Lord himself has scattered them. He no longer watches over them. The priests are shown no honor, the elders no favor. Moreover, our eyes failed looking in vain for help. From our towers we watched for a nation that could not save us. People stalked us at every step, so we could not walk in our streets. Our end was near, our days were numbered, for our end had come. Our pursuers were swifter than eagles in the sky. They chased us up over the mountains and lay in wait for us in the desert. The Lord's anointed, our very life breath, was caught in their traps. We thought that under his shadow we would live among the nations. Rejoice and be glad, daughter Edom, you who live in the land of Uz. But to you also the cup will be passed, and you will be drunk and stripped naked. Your punishment will end, daughter Zion. He will not prolong your exile, but he will punish your sin, daughter Edom, and expose your wickedness. Lamentations 5 ends with a powerful, sad, pathetic, heart-wrenching plea for God's mercy. I told you, we're just lingering in the pit. And I believe this is God's message, so that we never forget the calamities of old and we have the fear of the Lord, and we stay faithful. We in this episode, Lamentations 5, painful as it is, yet let's remember at this time what Jesus says later in Matthew 5. Those who mourn will be comforted. Lamentations 5. Remember, Lord, what has happened to us. Look and see our disgrace. Our inheritance has been turned over to strangers, our homes to foreigners. We have become fatherless. Our mothers are widows. We must buy the water we drink. Our wood can be had only at a price. Those who pursue us are at our heels, and we are weary and find no rest. We submitted to Egypt and Assyria to get enough bread. Our ancestors sin and are no more, and we bear their punishment. Slaves rule over us, and there is no one to free us from their hands. We get our bread at the risk of our lives because of the sword in the desert. Our skin is hot as an oven, feverish with hunger. Women have been violated in Zion and virgins in the towns of Judah. Princes have been hung up by their hands. Elders are shown no respect. Young men toil at the millstones. Boys stagger under loads of wood. The elders are gone from the city gate. The young men have stopped their music. Joy is gone from our hearts. Our dancing has turned to mourning. The crown has fallen from our head. Woe to us, for we have sinned. Because of this, our hearts are faint. Because of these things, our eyes grow dim. For Mount Zion, which lays desolate, with jackals prowling over it. You, Lord, reign forever. Your throne endures from generation to generation. Why do you always forget us? Why do you forsake us so long? Restore us to yourself, Lord, that we may return. Renew our days as of old, unless you have utterly rejected us and are angry with us beyond measure. Thanks for joining us for this episode of Message to Kings. Feel free to visit the website, messagetokings.com, share the Facebook page, or if you want to chat, email us at messagetokings@gmail.com.